to God, Lord, that we are loosed from it, God. Decisions in our mind, to God, Lord, our thinking, God, Lord. I ask tonight that each person here tonight, God, Lord, that specifically you speak to our hearts, to God, Lord, that we awaken, to God, Lord, and move that there's another choice. Hallelujah. And His name is Jesus, and He's powerful and almighty. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. I want to jump into the Word really quick here. Amen. You love the Word of God? I love the Word of God. I don't got it all figured out, but I have the Spirit of God that's within me to figure it out. Come on, amen? I have the Spirit of God within me to figure it out. Hallelujah. So I want you to just grab hold of this tonight. We're going to be in Philippians. Philippians 1, 12 through 26. I'm going to read this, and it's specific and it's purposeful. Amen. And I just want you to grab hold of this. I'm going to try to read this out of my... this is my... just in case. But I'm going to try to read it out of this. Now, let me lay the groundwork down for you for a second. Amen. This is Paul. Now, I was talking to some people about this because I believe it's significant, and I believe that sometimes we got to recognize what's taking place here. And Philippians is the book of love. It's a book of joy. And it emphasizes these things. But it wasn't written in a beach on the beach. It wasn't written in a study in a nice, comfortable place. But it was written in the most uncomfortable condition that Paul could ever experience. But yet it's significant that we look at this and see what comes out of this for our lives. And how I could take a hold of it and see, what was he looking at that I'm not? Come on. Come on, I want you to hear this. Amen. He's no different than I am, because he had a past. Come on, amen. You know, he had a past that he killed so many Jews, that he was commissioned to kill so many Jews. He was stood by and watched Stephen be stoned. Amen. He watched this. He seen this. He was right there. Amen. He didn't have a very... Come on. You ever got some conditions in your life right now? Come on. I want you... But yet, to have joy in the midst of it, that's what I want. Hallelujah. I want to persevere. I want to press through it. And I want to be on top of it. I don't want to be on top of me. Amen. So this is what Paul did. Paul, there was something about Paul that was different. He wrote almost all of the New Testament. And there's a reason for it, because he did something that others did not grab hold of. Amen. He was an inspiration to them. And if he was to them, I need to recognize and see, what was it that Paul did that I need to do? Because he's no different. He had a past. Come on, some of you got past. You don't have to show me your hands. Unless you want to. But you got past. Come on, we do. Come on, amen. Come on, we all have past. We have things that sometimes they try to come after you. Come on, sometimes they try to remind you. But if anybody had a past, his was way worse than mine. When you face to face with Jesus and he says, you stoned me. You abused me. You rejected me. And he says, I never did anything like that. And he says, yes, you did. Because when you did it to them, you did it to me. Face to face with Christ. What a heaviness. But yet he recognized there was something more. We have a choice, and we make choices in our lives every day. And I want you to see there was something that he chose over the past and his condition of what was going on around him. That if he was able to get through this and be on top of it, I can. Come on, amen. That's hope, amen. And this is a letter. This isn't just something that he wrote. And no, it was a letter to somebody. And it was so significant, they said, the Spirit of God moved him, because the Spirit of God was upon Paul, that they put it in the Bible because it was so inspirational. It was so meaningful because of where he was and what he was going through. So I want you to see this, that it was in Philippi. He was writing to these ones, and they were longing for him to come because they knew he was in prison. And it wasn't something new, because Paul faced prison in Philippi. Do you remember at the midnight hour when he was in prison? The last thing you want to do is worship God. The last thing you desire to do or think about doing is trying to lift up your hands when you don't know how you're going to do it, or no one's around you and you don't know what's going to happen to you. But yet at that moment, he lifted up his hands at the midnight hour. That's the experience that he had at this place. This is the place. So he's writing this letter, and I believe everybody that was in Philippi, part of this church, they were waiting for a letter to come. When are you coming, Paul? When are you coming here? They're waiting for him. They're anticipating him showing up. And they get a letter. And they go to everybody. Remember Lydia? Remember Lydia that he met? Lydia. And he wanted to start a church there. And she opened up her house. These amazing women of God in the Bible. When everybody turned their back, she says, I want what he has. And opened up her house. And I believe they were going to go get her and go get these ones. You got to hear this letter. You got to read this letter. So they're waiting for it, Beth. And as he began to read, the pastor, whoever it was, begins to read about it. He begins to tell what's going on. Tell them that he says, I love you. I miss you. I can't wait to see you. Okay, but when are you getting out? They're thinking about this in a moment. When are you getting out? When are you coming here? That's all they're thinking about. So Paul decides he's writing this letter and he begins to tell them what it was like, what is going on, and what's happening to him, where he's at. Y'all, you want to know what's happening to you? What's it like? And this is what he says. He says, and now I want you to know, brothers, sisters, that what happened to me has actually, say actually, say it like you mean it, actually. Sometimes some things that we think they have a different meaning, God has another meaning. Come on, amen. So it's actually, what is the meaning? And I want you to see that they're waiting to hear. He never tells them what it's like. So I want you to get this. Because we're thinking in our mind, what are you going through? What's going on there? What is it like there? Because I can describe my situation. It sucks. Come on, I mean, this is what, he had every right to do it. What's my cell like? It's dirty. What's the food like? It's horrible. See, I want you to see something. He's describing the condition, but not the condition that they might think he's in. See, this is the difference. This is how we have to make a choice. Because he had every right to choose to describe the situation a different way. But he said, no, no, it might look like this, but actually, this thing that's happening to me. I want you to know in those moments, we want to blame everything. Come on, I want you to know that. Because we go back to choices we've made before and blame the situation, blame the problem. But I want to here to tell you, it never changes anything. You go through the same cycle and over it because of the choice we made. It might be actually working for me. That I can look at my condition and realize, if God be for me, who could be against me? So actually, this is what it looks like. So Paul describes it. He says, now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. I want you to think about this and realize that the gospel is the good news. I want you to hear and know that it's not just advance the gospel to you, but it's advancing the gospel in me. See, Paul recognized something's happening in me. Something's taking place within me at this moment. And it's going to advance the gospel. I want you to know that because of him choosing, actually seeing what God was doing, it advanced the gospel in me. It advances the good news, the hope, and the joy that we could partake of. Amen? He said, and he says, and there's some powerful things I want you to get in this. He says, and as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard. I want you to know that they're seeing something different. He says, I'm here for something more than I realize. So I want you to realize that I'm chained. No, let me, I don't want to jump myself. He says, and everyone else that I am in chains. He specifically uses this, and I want you to recognize it. I'm in chains. This is NIV. He says, and I am chained, bonds in Christ. I want you to see this. How is it actually working in my life? This is where things change in us. This is where choices need to take place. That Paul said to himself, I am chained to Christ. I want you to know that he was chained, but in the natural it wasn't to Christ. There's some situations in our life that we can look at that are in us right now that are part of our lives. But we choose what they are. Am I chained to them or am I chained to Christ? Just stop and think about that. I want you to know that, listen, he could look at his situation because he was chained to a guard. But Paul says it was for the advancement of the gospel, which means to me is Paul didn't see it that way. He's seen it as that guard was chained to him. And he's writing about Jesus, and the man is right here. I want you to recognize he's writing to the, and I believe maybe one of the guards that came at that midnight hour. Remember, he was in prison and he saved this whole household. They left and his whole household. I believe that maybe he was one of those ones and he knows, man, I was beside Paul before when he did that. This man has no chance. So we can look at our situations and look at them and feel like I'm chained to them. Or am I chained to Christ? Come on, I want you to hear this. He says, and to everyone else that I am in chains of Christ, and because my chains, most of my brothers and sisters have become confident in God. He says, because I'm chained, they have become confident. Listen. And he says, where are we at? And because of my chains, most of my brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. I want you to see this. Because they're reading this and hearing how he is in prison, every one of those ones become more confident because of what he's declaring. They grabbed it, Beth. They began to hear it. The gospel advanced at an accelerated rate. When Paul was in prison. Why? Because they got confident. They didn't look at it. He was declaring to them what he was in. And it was an advancement. And they recognized it. So they weren't fearful anymore. Come on, amen. That every time they tried to kill him, they couldn't do it. He was there. And God overcame it. God went through it. And he was blessed in the midst of it. Amen. And he says, to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that someone preached Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what? Are you ready for this? Say it with me. But what does it matter? This needs to be your scripture verse. See, this is what made him different. This is the thing. This is his thinking. This is his choice in his mind. This is what became not just a choice anymore, but it became a habit. And once it becomes a habit, I'm going to say this again and again, it becomes automatic. See, it's automatic to Paul because he says, what does it matter? Can you say that? What does it matter? No matter what the situation I'm in. See, Paul was in this condition. He was in this place. But he says, what does it matter? It doesn't matter. Come on, I want you to hear this. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter. I'm with Christ. It doesn't matter. See, I want you to know that so many times we get caught up in what's going on. We have to declare to ourselves, what does it matter? See, we try to do so much to try to... Man, and sometimes we do things. We do things to try to... How do I say this? To impress people. To try to have something more. Maybe we look at things and think we wish we had this, and they drain you. Come on, amen. Because they're in our minds. They're telling you, you need this. What does it matter? What does it matter? Come on, amen. I want you to see this. And he says, But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, say every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. He comes forth out of my life. That no matter what condition, that Christ is preached. Doesn't matter whether or not I have or I don't have. It's if Christ is preached. Come on, amen. If that is coming out of my thinking and what I'm declaring, it has to come out of me. Amen. So what does it matter? It doesn't matter whatever thing's going on. It doesn't matter. Come on. I just want you not in your spirit. Come on. It's in my spirit. I want it to catch to you. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. What everything looks like. It doesn't matter. See, because he was able to say that in that condition. What does it matter? Because I know where I'm at. I know that He loves me. And I know that I'm chained to Him. I'm chained to Him. And that wherever I go, He's with me. Christ is being preached out of my life. Come on, to myself. I'm not just talking about somebody else. But what is being preached out of my life? Is it because of my condition? Is it because of where I'm at or what I'm going through? What happened in my past? Paul said that. He says, what does it matter? Because those things come after him. I want you to know something that Paul had. He said that he had a thorn in his flesh. Do you remember that? And I want you to know something that he never tells us what the thorn is.
Why?
What does it matter? See, because we could talk about it. How many of you got a thorn in your flesh? What does it matter? Come on, I want you to get that. I want you to hear that. What does it matter? That every one of us have thorns. He says, I asked God, remove it from me, God. And He didn't. So Randy, what did I do? I asked Him again. And He didn't. And I asked Him again. And He didn't. And then He asked Him again, and God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Chain yourself to me. What does it matter? I want you to know that's powerful, man. I want to be at a place that no matter what my condition, it doesn't matter. It doesn't move me. It won't change me. I'm confident in this thing of Christ who began a work within me shall finish it. Come on, amen. And what will be preached is the good news. You okay? Doesn't matter. He says, because of this, rejoice. Rejoice. He says, yes, and I will continue to rejoice. What does it matter? Because I'm going to rejoice. And when I'm done rejoicing, I'll continue to rejoice. So if you think I'm foolish, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to rejoice. Do you see what I'm saying? I want you to know if nobody's listening, the gospel's being preached to me in my life. It's affecting me. It's changing me. So what does it matter? So he continued to... I have a lot of notes I wrote down. I want to stand because they're good. I get carried away here. Listen... I preach the way I write my notes. I got arrows shooting back up to say, no, I want to put this here. Another arrow coming down here and then say this here. doesn't matter. Keep on rejoicing. Listen, I want you to know that joy is connected to your highest priority. I want you to get this. Your joy is connected to your... So listen, if your joy is connected to comfort and you don't have comfort, you have no joy. Whatever it's chained to, whatever it's connected to, whatever your highest priority, if it's money and you don't got no money, you don't have no joy. If it's connected to a person and that person fails you, you have no joy. So I want you to get this. I want you to know that sometimes God will let us connect to something to show us that it's not your joy. That's not where you'll get your joy. That's not where you'll get your hope. That's not where you'll get your purpose. Amen. It has to be me. Hallelujah. It has to be Him. It has to be Him. Because why would He let me go to take hold of something that's not real, something that's false, something that'll break me, that'll hurt me, that He will never fail me? That's what He says. So I'll let you connect to it, and it'll hurt you, but it's you choose. But don't choose that. Choose Me. Because my joy comes from the Lord. My joy comes from God. I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about the joy that Paul... How can he talk about joy in that condition? What does it matter? See, because something was inside him. That he's talked about God's love being deep and wide and huge. That is the most... One place I would feel rejected by God. Are you kidding me? I was doing what you wanted me to do and I'm here? He didn't look at it that way. It wasn't what he was seeing. He wasn't describing to himself the condition he was in. He was describing God, who he was in his life. Amen. And his condition in Christ. Amen? Not because of that. So where my priority is, if it's in the wrong things, I lose my joy. And we wonder why sometimes we struggle with this. I want you to know it has to be connected to Him. Has to be connected to Him. And it's truth. It can happen. Amen. It's real. Amen. But I want you to know, it begins to be with a choice. And then it becomes a habit. And then it becomes automatic. But it got to start with a choice. If you're not choosing to let Him be your joy, then it will never become a habit that will ultimately become automatic. I want you to know, we do it all the time. We choose other things than Him to make our joy, or think that it's going to make us happy, or give us hope, or give us purpose. And not realizing that He's saying it's Me. But Paul figured it out. Paul figured it out. Wow. He says, yes, I'll continue. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. It will turn out for my deliverance. What has happened to me will turn for my deliverance. This situation or the condition that I have to recognize, God, whatever you're doing, sometimes I want you to know that we're praying to get out of our conditions or situations, and we need to pray, God, maybe you're doing something in me. Hallelujah. You're working something within me. Sometimes we're praying, God, get me out of this thing. But I want you to know, it's that that'll change you. See, it was the prison. It was what he went through. None of us want to go through those things. But I want you to know that if we do go through, we all go through things in our lives. But we'll be able to declare like Paul did. Amen? That's what I want. That I'm delivered out of this thing. That if we learn to trust Him through this thing, that maybe ultimately that'll be the thing that'll deliver me. Maybe there's something in me, there's a situation or condition within me that God's trying to work out of me. Maybe there's a situation or condition that God's trying to... Maybe, I want you to hear this, that maybe because it was a choice that I made long time ago that tied me down. I'm going to give you a demonstration of it in a minute. But that tied me down and held me back from knowing Him in this way. So, he says, for I know that through these things, he says, verse 20, eagerly expect. I want you to see this and understand something, that Paul, he was so excited about God in this condition. He says that according to my earnest expectation, the word was never put together in this way ever. Until Paul described it. I want you to see something, that there was so much joy in him, that he was exuberant within him, that he was making up words. I want to be like Paul, that in the midst of things that I can just make up words because I'm so excited about what God's doing in my life.
No?
Yes. Listen. Am I making sense? It is in my head, so... I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether in life or death. Listen, I want you to see this, That word means apokarodiseo. Say it with me. Apokarodiseo. I want you to know that the first part of that, apa, means this. Turn away, ignoring other interests. Turning away and ignoring other interests. Listen, bring it together. Eagerly expect and I hope. I eagerly and expect and I hope that he says, apo, kara, diseo. The first part, apo, turn away. Say turn away. Ignoring other interests. Karo means head. Diseo means to stretch forward. Let me put it together. Turn my head, stretch it forward. Turn my head and stretch it forward. Listen, I want you to know that we're so conditioned because of past choices, things in our past, things that have happened to you that hold you back from stretching your head with expectation to see what God's going to do. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is where things hold us back. Because at this moment, he says, I'm eagerly... What are you expecting? Man, what do we do? Come on, when something comes our way, we eagerly expect the worst. But he says, I'm eagerly expecting... apokarodiseo, that I'm looking, my head is stretched, I've turned myself away, and I'm looking forward. Come on, you remember we talked about Saturday night, last Saturday, whenever we said about Moses, when Pharaoh looked at him, he says, and if you see my face, the next time you see my face, you're going to die. And Moses says, so let it be. And he walked away. Because he made it a condition that he was going to do what God said. He was going to eagerly expect God to do something. And he wasn't going to look at Pharaoh, the condition. Because I want you to know that when Pharaoh came, everybody turned and looked and they freaked out. But Moses didn't. Moses turned and looked, eagerly expected somebody. If Moses wouldn't have done that, come on, they would have died. And the story would have changed. It's been a lot different. But he eagerly expected. He was conditioned. He was moved by it. It was natural to him that he was going to look for God. Where are you looking at, Moses? The problems behind... No, no, no. See, if I look at it, I'm going to die. See, we got to recognize that. The choice that I make will cause me to die. I have to choose Christ. I have to choose Him. In my condition. And they were delivered. Amen? Are you okay? He says to turn away from that thing that I've been chained to. Stretch forward. I wrote this down that sometimes our heads are so far up our past. I mean, it didn't come out right. That we can't look forward. And what I mean by that sometimes, honestly, the one thing I disagree about addiction is when they say, I'm an addict. Listen, I was a former addict, but I ain't no more. See, because I'm not stretching my face that way no more, but I'm looking to Christ. Come on, my identity is not in that. Come on, I am not that. That's not who I am. That's not who I am, but I'm in Christ. I'm looking to Him. I get my identity and I find out who I am in Christ. Christ is preached. The gospel is preached. Amen? You okay? Let me get a drink real quick. I'm flying through this. Wow, where did a half hour go? That was a half hour? Wow. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And that's. If I live, but if I die, what does it matter? See, I want you to get this. Death doesn't separate me. But do you see what he's saying? He's declaring something that no matter, I'm willing to die for what I believe in. I'm willing to die in this condition for what I believe in. Wow, that's powerful. See, what warriors can that be? An army, like we declared. An army. Amen? He says, for to me to live is Christ, if I am to go on living. And then Paul, he says some things here. Some of these things I can't explain, but he's an old man by this time, and he has some swagger. He has some confidence because he really doesn't care what any... You know how you get to a condition in your life when you're older, you really don't care what anybody thinks? See, he's there. He doesn't care what anybody thinks about him. He doesn't care. He's not... And he's saying this because it doesn't matter. I will go through anything. And there's nothing that can come against me that will change my mind. Nothing. I will lose my life for this. Wow. And he says, but it is more necessary for you. It is necessary for you. This is necessary for you. This is necessary for you. I want you to realize this, that the things that happen sometimes aren't just for you. Man, I want you to know that purpose comes out of your life because you're valuable. For the glory of God to be preached out of your life, that people can stand back and say, God is awesome. Look what God can do from you. They look at the trees and say, wow, look what God does. How much more valuable are you than anything else, that the glory of God out of His own child will be manifested? And it's being manifested throughout Philippi because of his condition. But it wasn't a condition that we would look at it. He was chained to Christ. What are you chained to? He says, I'm convinced of this. I know that I will remain and I will continue with all for the progress and joy. The joy. The joy. The joy. The joy. So joy does not come based upon condition. It comes from a person. Inner joy, depth within me. Something arises within me. I want you to know, listen to me. Sometimes, yeah, but it doesn't happen to me. It has to become a choice. It has to be a choice in our lives. Can I get a volunteer? Chris, yeah, come on up. He volunteered. Hey, can you put this on your wrist? All right. I want you to know that this is how the enemy works. And sometimes how old are you? Can you get it? Struggling? All right. See, this is what the enemy does. Hold the mic for me then, if I'm doing this for you. Right? No, in my mouth. Oh, yeah, there you go. Thank you. This is what the enemy does. He doesn't come at you right away, like what we think. Like, he doesn't appear to you just with chains. Hey, put these on. No. It comes with a choice. See, I want you to know that for the progressing in the preaching of the gospel of Christ, he's going to try to deter it. He's going to try to distract you. He's trying to get you out of the way because he knows that if this gospel, that joy, gets in you, it changes people. So he's going to get you to what? To make a choice when you're young. And I'm here to encourage you tonight because I want you to recognize something. I look back at my life and I recognize it was the choices that I made that became habits that ultimately became my condition in automatic. Whether it's unforgiveness, when I was hurt by somebody and I hold on to that thing, that thing was a choice that I let it get a hold of me. Come on, amen. That it became... We're going to get this chain. This is a chain. Pretend it's a chain. Okay? All right, hold this. Okay. That all of a sudden it just becomes a choice. But once it happens in our lives, it begins to lead us around. See, because maybe somebody, you get stuck in this place because you got hurt by somebody. So you have no choice in the matter. But then there's sometimes that you've come to church sometimes. Come on, I want you to hear this. That sometimes you've come to church and you get something, gets in your heart. But I want you to know that as soon as you try to do what God wants, try to walk away and do what God wants, guess what? All of a sudden, pulls you back because of that choice. And it drags you around again. Because of that, those things that come our way, and because we continue to be at that place where that we're chained to it, that we're used to blaming people because of where I am. Maybe parents, or maybe things in your past that happened to you that are real things, amen? But I want you to recognize something, that those things might be real, but you don't have to be chained to them. They don't have to drag you around. That everything that you do are based upon that condition of what happened in your life. Amen? We're going to break the pulpit. Or Jamie. Let me hold this end. Come on, I'm going to make it condensed. Enemy gets you a choice. And that choice becomes a habit. And then the habit becomes automatic. And you wonder why you go through these cycles. The habit needs to be broke. That needs to be broken in our life. I want you to know that I recognize this, that there's things that sometimes have been broken in my life, and I realize that that's what they've become. They become something, a necessity, the thing that I kept reaching for, the thing I kept looking back to. I looked in my past. What happened in your past? Don't be chained to it. Don't be chained to it. Come on, amen. That we wonder, we want to do right, but we can't do it. Why? Because we're still chained to that thing that's in the past. And it happened to you, but we don't have to be. We need to be chained to Christ. We need to be chained to Him. Listen. That it becomes that automatic. That we become bitter sometimes because of things. And that you're afraid to love, that you can't love nobody. Maybe because you've seen it in your past with somebody else. You've seen the way they love, or you've seen this and that. And because of it, that's what you do. It becomes part of you. It's a choice that we automatically choose what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? And we choose it. I want you to know that these happen every day, and the enemy will get our minds to get us to have a choice. Do you choose to be in that moment? You choose to see it as a prison. You choose to see it as the condition that you're in, that's what you have to say, instead of realizing that Christ is in you. It's a choice. And we realize, I don't have to live with that. Hang on. You all right? Okay. But it's a choice. To see God's purpose in our condition and situation. It's a choice. To see it. To see it. Man. To see it in your mind. To see it a reality. To see it. My God, Lord, it becomes a choice. And every time. And then eventually, guess what? It becomes a habit. And then it becomes automatic. And everybody around you begins to say, man, you should be describing your prison cell. No. I'm chained to Christ. Whew. Listen. I wrote this down because I think we need to hear this. Set free from the need for God to change the situation. That's all. Maybe that situation is what will deliver you. He said by the deliverance. Maybe that situation, God will work through it to be your deliverance. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? I don't know how to explain it, because there's sometimes some things in my life that I really don't... I didn't choose. But I realized that God chose it. Let it happen for me. That He would get glorified through it. Because there were some things that I was chained to that wanted me to say, God, get me out of this place. And I went right back to the same place every time. Every time. But I want you to know this is what we need to do. That if we're chained to Him, that no matter... Is that your phone? Jeez. We have a sign that says, do not turn out. Don't look. Don't see who it is. You know what I mean? Text them back and tell them you're in church. No, I'm joking. But you choose. So, it has become a habit, and now it becomes automatic for him that no matter where I go, no matter where the Lord is, I am. Doesn't matter what condition, where he goes, I go. I won't go without him. I won't move without him. That's where he wants us to be. You can unhook yourself. But I want you to know that we can begin to make up reasons to trust God. Come on. I said this before, that you know what? That we can make up every excuse and choice not to be here, not to be in presence, not to read our Bible, not to pray, not to call upon his name, not to seek his face. And that's a choice. Or we could choose to do it. And make a reason, find an excuse to touch him. I want you to know, so many times we try to impress everybody. We try to impress people that never died for you. They didn't give their life up for you. But yet we let that... Listen, I want you to know that we're faced with it with social media. You look for 5 seconds on somebody's Instagram or Facebook page and you see their life. A caption of 5 seconds of their life, and they look so happy, look how awesome. But if they don't tell you the rest, when they walk away, everybody in the picture hates each other. And you let it make you feel like crap. What does it matter? See, I want you to hear that. It can't be based upon that. It has to be based upon him. But we let those things fumble us. But he has to be that choice. At that moment, when I think about that, I guess I say, God, you're good. I mean, Paul was at a place where he was single. He wasn't married. He wasn't alone. He was chained to Christ. Everything about it. He was not married. He didn't have a spouse. But he had all that he needed. Come on. Do you remember Renee Zellweger? Do you remember she said to... Yeah, but what's his name? Jerry Maguire. What did he say to her? Him. You complete me. No. Jerry doesn't complete you. Jesus does. He completes me. He gives me purpose. So you know what I want us? We're going to play that song one more time. Break Every Chain. And I ask that each one of us, that we say, God, no matter what, where the Spirit of the Lord is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. We have to let that get a hold of us. Let that be a choice. Wherever the Spirit of God is freedom. In the day of his power, if somebody chooses him, stand your feet. Let's let God. Come on, if whatever that thing is in your heart, whatever that thing has been, whatever that things that we've been chained to, I'll ask you tonight, every one of us, just to say, God, I just give it to you, God. Take it off me, God. Give me the strength and the power to choose you, God, and let it be a habit. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing it.